Hi, welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. I'm your host, Robert Green, and joining me today are Maria Nakaga.
Yes, thank
hey,
you
Maria.
For having me.
First time on the show, welcome.
Thank you.
And Brady Gaster, making his return appearance on the show.
Thanks for having me back.
And we're going to talk about the Smart Hotel 360 app. This was the app that we used at Connect back in November, which is our annual event to introduce all kinds of goodness. And this app was shown at Connect, and the source code is all available in GitHub.
Yes, it is.
And we're doing a number of episodes where we talk about various pieces of the application. So last time, Erica Early and I did kind of the broad overview, and starting today, we're going to do some deep dives. And today, we're going to talk about the web app side of this. And so just to review,
this is it.
We've got the web app here, public web app running up in Azure, written with ASP Core. Which calls an Azure function to do some really cool stuff that we're going to look at, and then talks to a bunch of services. So booking a room and searching for rooms and all that stuff is running in microservices in a Kubernetes cluster. We're going to do a separate episode on that part of it. So I just want to make sure that we understand that that type of stuff we're not going to cover today. We're going to talk about the website, which makes those calls. And we're going to talk about Azure Functions, and we're going to look at some code and see what it does. Yeah,
sounds great.
All right.
And really, what this demo kind of shows is kind of the lay of the land. It really kind of goes through a lot of the different components that we talked about at Connect. We're obviously talking about serverless functions.
Yes.
We're saving data and retrieving it from Cosmos DB database, and we're also using some really awesome APIs and cognitive services like the Computer Vision API. We've actually got a tab open if you're interested in reading the documentation for the Cognitive Services Vision API. Here's the product information, and of course we have awesome documentation on docs.ms.com for everything, all the different Azure APIs and SDKs you could ever think of or didn't even know existed.
And this is, just to reiterate, that this is all shipping code. This isn't futures.
Exactly.
This isn't stuff that's coming down the pike. Everything we're going to show, everything we're going to do is available today.
Available today.
We're using Visual Studio 2017, latest refresh. You can download it and party on it all you want to. But with that, I'd like to let you kind of introduce what we're doing here and talk about this ASP.NET and React app that we built for the demo.
So this is the app that we built, and I'm going to open it up. And this is a booking app. And it's something that people can relate to pretty much if you travel a lot for work. And this is a real-world example. Real-world, there are probably solutions that are just like this. So what I'm going to walk you through is the ASP.NET Core 2.0 application. So this is all built in ASP.NET Core 2.0, which is our cross-platform open source framework. And one of my favorite things about ASP.NET Core is, one, of course, it's open source. I can use it, and I can contribute to it, which is great. It's cross-platform, where you know it works on my machine. It will also work on your machine, which is brilliant. And then, finally, I also really love the performance of it. It's really, really fast as well.
So that seems to me that you know if I'm a ASP, obviously, working at Microsoft, I think the fact that it's open source is critically important, and I know why. And I think the fact that it's cross-platform is critically important, and I know why. But as a developer who's done a lot of ASP, the full .NET framework, maybe web forms, MVC, now I'm asking, okay, so for my day-to-day job, which is building a website, maybe I care, maybe I don't care that it's open source. I'm not going to contribute to it, good Lord. And it's cross-platform, but I only run Windows. And yeah, I'll put it up in Azure, which last time I checked was running Windows. So those two things don't necessarily steer me in one direction or another. But the fact that it's more performant, now you're starting to get me interested.
And if you wanted to have a full, you know, a containerized environment, you could put an ASP.NET Core app inside of a Linux container because it'll run on that platform as well.
So if you go down that route of containers and you're going to run Windows containers, the fact that it runs on Linux doesn't interest you. But if you're choose to or guided to choose Linux containers, then the fact that it's that you wrote it in Core means it'll just go there. You don't have to do anything different. So,
and even better, if you don't want to rewrite your existing ASP.NET application in Core, if it's just working great and you don't need to change it around, you can actually bring that application up into App Service or into a Service Fabric or some sort of container environment in Azure and run it there as well, and then extend it using things like serverless functions and anything else you want. So you don't have to, you know, abandon your existing, you know, investments in ASP.NET. You can just bring in a party.
And I think it's also important, and I think this gives us a great opportunity to actually switch to the code for a moment before we run the application. Mm-hmm. Because the biggest fear when I talk to a number of .NET developers who have been doing this for 20 years is that, why am I learning this? Do I have to learn something new? And it's made me really sympathetic because I actually came into ASP.NET Core. That was my introduction to .NET. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the controller, if you actually look at it, this does look like an app you have today, right? You have your controllers, right? You have your models and your views. Like, it isn't different. We aren't calling it any different. Mm-hmm. It's not like now all of a sudden we have this thing called HTML pages, and then you have to put everything in there.
MVC is still MVC.
Razor is still Razor. Yeah,
The pattern will not change, and that's a good question. Mm-hmm. That is a thing. Like, I've invested all this time in getting to know Razor. Does Razor still exist? Mm-hmm. Yes, it does, right? So if you actually go over to the page, you have, maybe we don't have Razor in this particular, yeah, we do. It does exist.
It does exist.
It does exist. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, like, just not to panic. So I always tell people, do not panic. You are not learning a new skill.
Right.
You're just enhancing the places that you can take your application.
Right. And then this app uses React for the client side.
Yes.
Right.
We've done Angular before. Right. This one's written in React.
Yeah,
so
you could use jQuery. Doesn't matter. Yeah. And really what we're doing, if you look at that architecture, what you've got is, you know, this public web app is actually making calls into a backend containerized infrastructure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those calls are actually being made through the React.js, you know, libraries. You know, if you wanted to use Angular, you could do that as well.
If you wanted to use Vue, you could do that.
You could do whatever you want. If you want to create a fork of this and change it from React to Vue or to Angular, feel free. We'd love to have you know, a couple different versions of it.
Yeah. ASP.NET Core is flexible now.
Exactly.
Completely flexible. You can do whatever you want. Be
flexible
happy.
And fast.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so what else would people want to look at? The controllers as
well? Yeah, let's have a look at the controllers. Because let's talk about the scenario here. You do a great job of walking through this scenario.
The scenario, and this will be a greater vision once you actually look at the application, but the scenario is that you want to go and stay at a hotel.
Yes.
And let's say you love your pet and you don't want to leave your pet at home. Mm-hmm. Does this hotel let me bring my pet with me? Mm-hmm. So the whole point is that you would actually go select your pet and see if your pet is allowed to stay or not.
Okay.
And the way we're able to figure out if your pet is allowed is, first of all, we're using cognitive services.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right? And cognitive services using the Vision API is able to say with extreme detail, it's actually quite spooky and scary, if it is an acceptable pet. So you can actually set the premise of.
And the website knows this because.
What happens is, it's like you can actually see here, what we're doing is we'll upload an image and save that. And save that into, you know,
The website, I'm going to upload an image of my pet.
Exactly.
And the Vision service is going to be able to determine,
like, what kind of a pet it is.
Yeah. What kind of a pet it is.
Right. So it takes a look. So this document that's currently on screen right here, you can see here that we've got a property called message. And message is equal to null.
Let's back up. What are we looking at right now?
This is actually the Cosmos DB data that we've saved in previous uploads that we've done.
So to back up. So in the browser.
Right.
I'm going to upload a picture of my pet.
Exactly.
Which is going to go into Azure.
Right.
That is going to call an Azure function.
Exactly.
Yep.
So the functions are basically event handlers.
Right, right.
And that function is going to call the cognitive service, which will look at that picture and say, cat, dog, something else.
Exactly.
Return a message to me telling me whether it's okay to bring this pet.
Exactly.
In the picture.
Yes. Exactly. And in this particular case, you can see that this guy hasn't been processed yet. And one of the reasons we do that is we didn't want to add all that code to our existing ASP.NET application. The pets thing was like a feature we wanted to add later on. So
you could have, right?
You could have.
But
you don't have to.
Right.
You could use something like functions or a backend service to do that processing for you, so you don't have to make so many.
And that way, if I upload a picture of the pet from my mobile app, I only have to write the code once.
You got
not
it.
Have
True.
It in two
That's
different
exactly
places.
Right. That's exactly right. But what we've got here in the Data Explorer, in the Cosmos DB Data Explorer, this is a guy that hasn't been processed yet. So this is a pet that I've uploaded that we haven't actually sent over to computer vision. This is one that we have. So if I click on the second island right here, you'll see we've got this message, a brown and white dog lying on the ground. So this is a case where we've actually uploaded an image. So let's give this a shot and see if this actually works.
Let's go and see what happens.
Yeah,
all right.
Sure.
Okay. So let's go over the website and go walk through the experience.
Right.
So I am going back home to New York. So let's see. I don't know why I'd need a hotel. Maybe I don't
Maybe
have
they're
rent.
Renovating your awesome
yes,
apartment.
Yes, they're renovating my awesome apartment.
That's good.
And I'm going to select the dates, and I click apply. And it tells me, are you bringing a pet? And I'm like, of course I am. So let's see what happens when I bring my cat. And I noticed that hotels don't really like cats, so they're biased. But let's see what happens. So I'm going to upload a picture of my cat. And now it's processing it using Cognitive Services Vision API.
And then go ahead and hit F5.
And if I hit F5, okay.
So the code we're looking at right now is the Azure Function code,
right,
which we are debugging from inside Visual Studio.
Exactly.
Very cool.
Really cool. And if you look over here and you look at the tags that it's fetched.
Allowed, contains dog. All right.
So if you look at the level of description of what it brings back, it's a cat sitting. It's an animal, a mammal, gray, top, looking. And I was like, this is a bit a bit spooky about how much it gives you an actual sentence describing the image.
But as you can see, we're looking for one specific tag,
right,
which is dog.
Dog.
Which means we're probably not going to have a favorable result here. So if I just click it. I can't click from over here.
I know, when we have too many hands on the tools.
Go ahead and hit F5 one more time.
All right.
We'll let everything process. And if we were to flip back to the let it keep running. Go back to the code.
Yeah, it's stuck on the 4.
Yeah, just take that breakpoint off.
All righty.
And then hit F5.
There we go. Mouse issues.
We've been setting breakpoints.
Too many breakpoints. We've been debugging this too much.
Yeah, we've been debugging it quite a bit.
No such thing as too many breakpoints.
That's true. So that should have finished running, and once that's finished running, you'll see that we have an error here.
Look at the words that came back, and it had so many. It had mammal, it had gray.
A cat that is looking at the camera.
Very specific,
so
to the
point.
So we're going
to try that again and upload. Click from here.
I will do the clicking. Do
you
not
click.
Worry. Let me click. Let
It'll
me
be
do
my
the clicking.
Demo goddess.
So I'm going to upload a picture of a chihuahua.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And now it's doing the processing again.
Right.
Let's see if we can see what's happening in the back.
And the other cool thing about this now is the website has a picture of your dog.
Isn't that cool?
So when you come to the hotel, they can say, well, that's not the dog you registered.
Yes.
You registered a chihuahua. You brought a Great Dane.
Right.
Exactly.
That's going to cost more.
Exactly.
So you can see the description over here, just saying it is allowed. And if we click over the captions and we look at the results. Oh, sorry. No. It's over
the tags.
The tags. There we go. Whoa. Okay.
Dog. It's running in the grass. It's
that's
brown.
Cool.
Isn't that cool?
And that's the Cognitive Services sitting up in Azure. Anyone can play with them.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Anyone
mm-hmm.
can play with them.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And we actually leave descriptions in the GitHub repo on how you can get up and running.
I'll hit F5.
Cool. Okay.
And we'll see if it's allowed.
Let's go back over here.
And there you go.
There we
it's
go.
Allowed.
But it wasn't carrying a frisbee. But
right.
But you know.
Right. Close enough.
Yeah. Close enough.
So it was a dog.
Exactly.
It was a dog.
Right.
And it was in the distance. And they
figured
it out. Yeah.
Exactly. So if we wanted to, we could go in and we could change the tag we're looking for and make it small, republish our function, and then any small animal will show up. And then if you bring a big animal, as you said, you'll say, this isn't what you uploaded.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
One last thing I think we should show is, where is this trigger actually happening in the code?
Yeah. Totally.
That's a big one.
That's a big one.
So in the code, and I hope it
is. And again, this is the function code.
Yes. So if you are downloading it and you're using our repo, it will be the pet checker function.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. There we go. So this is where we're calling the trigger.
Got it.
Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the trigger that we're looking for is a Cosmos DB trigger. So as you upload the picture, it's triggering a function, which calls a Cosmos DB trigger.
And it's Cosmos DB because it's a picture. It's not relational data. Otherwise, you could use
We have a lot of different document types. Like we have a document type for doing sentiment analysis, where we're actually using Cognitive Services to analyze tweets. We have this information, which is a series of tags that comes back from Cognitive Services that we can then just store in our database. But we went kind of with a document approach. If you wanted to go with a SQL approach, that would be fine, too. Yeah. Do that.
But for this scenario, it just made sense to do more of like a...
And this is a awesome new feature that we have. Functions you could trigger easily from a queue or from a blob or from a table that got updated. The Cosmos DB trigger is one of the newest triggers in the functions arsenal. So,
cool.
It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the end-to-end, kind of the flow of the public web app and one of my favorite features.
Nice. That's
pretty
cool. Yeah. Try it at home with a teacup pig and tell us what you see.
So, pretty straightforward.
Very straightforward.
Which is good news. Mm-hmm. ASP Core, we talked about why. We looked at a little bit of the code written in React. We're not going to do a deep dive on React on this show. Mm-hmm. We may come back and do one if we can find someone well-versed enough who wants to get on camera and deep dive of the
maybe
actual
we could,
React.
We could ping John Popper or Burke Holland.
Yeah, they could do that, okay. Yes.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Because that would be kind of fun to actually look at the React code and walk through how it all works.
Mm-hmm. Actually, one of the creators for Vue actually works at Microsoft now.
Oh, cool. Oh, there
He's
we go.
He's on the Edge all team.
Right.
Yeah, so
okay.
Plenty of people.
Yeah.
Cool, but as we said, you could do the client side in Angular or anything else you want.
Anything
to.
Else, yeah. Angular, Vue.
Vue.
I have to keep bringing.
And then we didn't look at a lot of the code that does things like searching and booking and stuff like that because it's all running in containers, and we're going to do a separate episode on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which another thing that we also have to remember, when people are watching this episode, it does relate to different developer teams within their company and how they can work separately on one application.
Right.
So
yeah.
I'm looking forward to seeing the whole series.
Yeah, that's actually an interesting point. Go back to the architecture diagram. That's a very interesting point. Because you could have the web team. You're obviously going to have, you'd have the mobile client team. You have the web team. You might have the Azure team. And then for each of these individual pieces, bookings, suggestions, notifications, maybe they're all using C# and .NET, but maybe not, right? So you might have some folks, the Java guys that are doing notifications and sentiment are writing that. Or in this case, they are.
Right.
Oh, I could say maybe they are. I could use the real ones. Tasks and reviews are in Java.
Right.
Suggestions and sentiment are in Node.
Yeah.
Everything else is in Core.
Exactly.
Right.
Which I think is beautiful.
Again, it's kind of sort of the microservices approach is that each piece could be written by a different team, and then you as the web guy making calls to that just need to know, you know, what endpoint do I hit?
Exactly.
Right. RESTful API.
Right.
What endpoint do I hit? I don't care what it's written in.
Right.
I just want. What do I send?
Right.
What's going to come back? Mm-hmm. Does it work? Who do I go yell at when it doesn't?
Mm-hmm. And
that's what I care about.
Exactly. And
the
other part that a lot of our customers care about, I definitely care about, is like how do you get all that up into Azure?
Yes.
Well, you could use our DevOps tools, all of our great VSTS tools. You can publish containers, package everything up, ship it up to the cloud just by doing a commit. And if you were to also tie in, we had a kind of a side demo of this that we talked about doing, where you can actually attach an App Insights instance to your app service running in Azure, and then you can attach that to a VSTS backend.
Yeah.
So I could actually go into the portal. This is kind of what we were talking about doing.
It
took too long, so we didn't do it. But what we were kind of thinking about doing was, you know, I want to go and create a work item for myself because I want to allow all small animals. That work item, you could do it directly in the portal and it would flow all the way through. Cool. Mm-hmm. And then when you do a commit, you could reference it, the build happens, and you got the full end-to-end work life cycle. So it's great.
Nice. All right, cool.
Awesome.
All right.
Thanks for doing this.
Cool. Thanks a lot for the time.
All right, hope you guys found that helpful. Go check out the code, play around with it. Let us know how much more of a deep dive you might want us to do on this. And we will see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.